following brief story is true. As was often told by my mother and the oral tradition which followed. I say it must be true because, like all other mothers, my mother never fell victim to hyperbole when it came to her children. If your children are perfect, exaggeration does not apply. It has no meaning. But sometimes the perfect child can be lost, or at least appear so. In any case, the family narrative goes something like this. I was born in Stoughton, raised in McFarland. And when I was just old enough to walk and talk, my mother took my grandmother and I up to the Capitol Square, which was like going to Jerusalem. Why were we there? Because it was the Manchester's annual after Christmas sale. It was nigh on to a religious journey for our family. So we get there and the place is packed, and not long after arrival, my mother suddenly realized I was missing. My mother and grandmother searched the store and then requested assistance from the sales staff. Someone even went outside to see if I was wandering down the sidewalk. And then someone else soon noticed a crowd gathered in front of one of the display windows with people chuckling and pointing. And there I was to be found talking to the mannequins. My family to this day believes that that was the obvious occasion of my call to public ministry. Don't laugh too loud, because when I preach, I often think I'm proclaiming good news to mannequins. Let all those who have ears. Well, to sum up the narrative, I was where I should not have been. It was not necessary for me to be in a Manchester's window display. Jesus had, well, a similar experience. When he was 12 years old, he had an experience, but the location and the conversation was a little different. His family had left without him, or more accurately, Jesus left without asking them or saying where they could find him. And they discover his absence on their journey home. You know the story. They backtrack, and they find the assumed lost Jesus. But Jesus wasn't lost. He knew precisely where he was and why he was there. Rather, his parents were at a loss as to why he was gone and where to find him, or they would have looked there first. And finally, finding him in the temple, Jesus receives a parent's scolding. And Jesus responds, "Why is it that you sought me?" Now, what child would say that to a parent? "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house, or about my Father's business?" In other words, why do you seek me? Why do you seek one who's not lost? "Don't you know I am here of necessity?" Or to put it so crassly, what is it about the divine must that you don't understand? How on earth can I be lost if I'm right at home with the Father? Or still put another way, they're concerned about Jesus' whereabouts, while he's concerned about his whoabouts, his being about God the Father's business in the world. And the key to the entire passage is a little three-letter Greek word. When you read Scripture, forget about all the big words. Stick with those with five letters or less. Hoti, in. Die. Delta, epsilon, iota. Meaning it's binding, it's necessary, it's proper, it's inevitable, it's right, it's essential. It's a must be, it's an imperative. There are some scholars, New Testament scholars, that even contend that the whole of God's will for Christ and for humanity is comprehended in this little three-letter Greek word, as Luke conceives it. A statistical analysis shows us that there are 102 occurrences of this little three-letter word, or variations. 102 in 27 books of the New Testament. 40% of those, 40% are in Luke Acts, the Lucan writings. Not something now. Must is non-optional. As Euripides put it, nothing is stronger than necessity. And we could rightly say, and listen to this closely, ponder these words for the next month or two. I submit to you that we could rightly say that Jesus, without necessity, would necessarily not be God. Divine necessity. Necessity is the text and context of everything we find in the book of Luke. I must preach the gospel. The Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and be crucified and must be raised from the dead. I must be on my way to Jerusalem. Scriptures must be fulfilled. Little word, big import. Recall that Jesus did not say that he was required to be there, but that it was necessary for him to be there. It was divinely willed. It was determined. It was necessary. He did not have a choice. It's sort of like you not being required by God to be here this morning, but it is necessary for you to be here because you know it's feeding time for the body of Christ. Or to bring it so ever close to home, sounds like something Luther would say, so forgive me in advance for the earthiness, but I think the difference between something being required and something being necessary is like a bowel movement. Bowel movements are not required from you as an external requirement. It is an urgent internal necessity, and necessity always has its way. Now, if this morning somehow you have lost hold of Jesus, where would you look for him? Would you send out a search party like a mother in a department store? No, you know better than that. You know you would only find him where he seeks you and where he finds you still, in the waters of baptism, the written and preached word, the Lord's Supper. In the story of Jesus, like all others, just who is it who is lost? We know that no one ever truly finds Jesus. We only find out that we have been found. We only grasp that we have been grasped. We only take hold of being held. Truly being lost is not about not knowing where you are. It's about not knowing that you're missing, not knowing that you are lost. The real question remains, who is lost? They find Jesus, but the words of Jesus are lost on them. They're puzzled. Like talking to mannequins. His own mother. And for Jesus, it was like talking to a mannequin. They're puzzled. Luther put it this way, and I quote, "It is not the fault of Christ and his grace. He is indeed not, nor does he remain lost. He may always be found. But the fault lies in you, because you do not seek him rightly where he is to be found. You must come to his word, and coming to his word, you will find that he has come to you. For Christ is only found in the place where he wills to be found." So Luther, you will find that you've been found, and there you will find that he is always for you. Now recall, less than a week ago, the Lucan Christmas story closed with words that all who had heard were wondering. They were puzzled at what the shepherds had told them. And then Scripture says, "But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart." And now it's 12 years later. And as with that birth, we still find Mary, having raised him for 12 years, still remaining being believingly puzzled with Jesus. And she pondered over things. She pondered over the Annunciation. She pondered over his birth. She pondered over the Magi, the astonishing wisdom, the revelation, the mystery of it all. She patiently tried to understand that which she believed. Faith seeking understanding. And she considered those events deeply and thoroughly. It wasn't, "I think about this, I've thought about that long enough, I'm going to move on to other things." In a real sense, she was overwhelmed by and mystified with the divine. We have much to learn about the Mother of God. What it is to treasure and to ponder and to treasure, to sit still and pray and think, and to be moved by the Holy Spirit, and not to rush our time with God. Today we join brothers and sisters throughout the world as we ponder the words of Scripture and as we ponder what the Lord has done. And that pondering and that treasuring will go with you. It will remain with you whether you want it to or not when you walk through those doors. But if you are like me, and you are, you know that pondering and treasuring will come and go. It will slip and slide. It will be forgotten and be remembered, like the Colossians text. You don't just put it off and then put it on. We're putting on, putting off, putting off. We put off, putting on. We are on again, off again, fickle, vacillating people. But while you ponder and while you treasure, be about the Lord's business in the world. You don't need certainty in things divine. And if you need it, it will not come until death. But in this lifetime, you don't need certainty in order to serve. You need only to love. As you question the Lord's whereabouts now and then, as you go through grief, Things happen in life and you say, where is the Lord? Do it. But do it standing and walking and feeding the hungry and working for justice. Remember to be one of the whoabouts doing the Lord's business. The Lord has come, and we have been found. There's much to be pondered. There's much to be treasured. Come back to church, and we'll tell you the rest of the story. Thanks be to God.